Oi, lads, did you miss out on the Jaren's Outpost Kickstarter and wish you weren't such a big doofus? Well, fear not. Late pledges are now open and they'll be open for a little while. So just head to Kickstarter, search for D&Ds for Nerds or Jaren's Outpost and slam that late pledge button. You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
Home of comedy,
culture,
adventures,
and ghosts.
Previously on Stories from the Grey Hill Free Company.
All right, so you put it on. Yeah, that's fine. Do you want to walk into the river?
No, I have no need to. I just put it on because it would have come in handy earlier when
it would have, yeah.
we went over the waterfall because of me.
You rush towards, you can see it kind of looks like a farm almost. There's like a squat little house made out of mud bricks with a thatched roof. The fence is topped with a series of skulls.
That might not be necessarily a bad thing.
Like a butcher's apron that you see is stained with blood, and in one hand she has a bloody cleaver.
Hello, hi. I followed your tracks here. I believe you might have come across a friend of mine.
Yaola also experimentally goes up to touch where her horns were and makes like a pained wince when she touches there.
I fill them in on what happened there.
Yaola casts her eyes around the group and says, I want revenge.
I think some of you are still maybe suffering from hypothermia.
Big T, you don't know what he's talking about. You feel too hot. You're very confident that you could take this old woman and her fucking dogs, and you're very confident that it is too fucking hot right now.
Maybe if I kill the dogs, I'll be allowed to take my jacket off.
So, look, we... I'm getting like zero guidance or zero input from the other team.
Yeah, they're just, like I said, kind of despondent, very hopeless right now. It feels like this is a low point for them.
Okay.
It's Saren's birthday today. This is rough for them.
God, happy birthday, Saren. Okay. Well, let's just pick a direction and let's try and head back up where the waterfall.
You pick a direction and start trudging. Highs or lows.
Kath, you can take one of these.
Yeah, feel free to
these.
Take this one for the team. Lows?
Yeah.
Lows? Is that what you said?
Stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it. Lows. You
got 79. You want to go highs?
Lows.
All right. You walk for an entire day.
Okay.
I don't think we would have, to be perfectly honest.
Well, you'd like walk for half a day, be like, we should turn around?
Well, I would assume if we were walking, you'd be like, okay, there is no way we're scaling this. Like,
if we,
surely we would have figured
well,
out
like,
at
four
some
four hours
point.
In, we're like, hang on.
I would say 4 hours in. Are we walking, I guess, are we walking towards where our camp was, or are we walking towards where...
Well, if you're going around the... You're just kind of like putting one hand almost on the cliff and walking, is what I'm kind of assuming.
Yeah. Which direction would gone with? Like, I guess the way towards our camp or towards...
The direction that would have probably taken you, hopefully, towards or at least closer. Maybe you're being kind of hopeful and you're like, maybe the path is really short... And you're following along the way that would have kind of also led in the direction of your camp, but alas.
Okay. All right. And just eyeballing it ain't going to fucking help us here at all.
Eyeballing what?
The cliffs.
you just can't get enough. You can't see enough of the cliffs to tell that.
Yeah. Is it a bit drier where we currently
are? Well, there's no river, so yeah, it's drier, yeah.
All right. So I, in theory, could... turn into a goat, and walk up.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Just keeping that in the back of my mind. All right, so I guess we get to a certain point. Have we at least gotten to, like, trees?
No. It's going to take you... You don't know which direction you need to go to get out of... Well, you know if you follow the river, you'll get out. But you don't know the shape or dimensions of this dead space.
Oh, right. We're just, like, in a dead
Yeah,
dead
oh, zone. I... Sorry, I don't know if I described this properly before, but it is, like, cracked... dead earth for about as far as the eye can see. You see little spurts of maybe grass here and there, but there are certainly no trees. Like I said, this place kind of has like a volcanic feel to it, Imagine basically coming to an island that was made by a volcano and life has yet to really sprout anew here.
Right. Okay.
There's every now and then you can probably see like a little bit of greenery or something like that, something where the nature is retaking this place, but it is few and far between.
Okay. I guess at this point, for food, I do have good berries.
Yes, please.
So how many good berries does...
it takes one good berry to feed someone.
Yeah, how many good berries does it take in a cast? Or how many...
Yes. Well,
up to 10 berries. Okay.
Yeah, but you can only cast that. So you have you would cast through a sprig and mistletoe, a divine or a focus for your spell.
Yes.
That gets consumed in the casting of good berry. So you can cast this spell once, and a good berry lasts for 24 hours.
Okay. Well, at least we're for a day, we're good.
Well, what you could do is, because you can cast good berry, so if you're uncertain how long you're going to be here, you could cast it once, and that's basically a day where you have a full recovery. Full recovery.
Yes.
And then the good berry spell is ended. Alternatively, you could spend a day doing several rests back-to-back, maybe with your party, two rests back-to-back, and you can consume all 10 of those good berries and thus getting the benefit of two rests in one day. But that would mean that you spend your day doing just that.
Well, that's true. Also, again, we could go hunting for food if there is any food, but by the way you're describing it, nothing.
You could try. I mean, like, I'm saying there's a chance. It's just difficult.
Yes.
Okay. I think if it is completely open, there are no trees, there's pretty much nowhere to hide. Anything that comes for us, we can just hunt them. You know? Like, why go looking for something when everything that we could see would see us anyway?
You're right, and we are definitely showing a very strong, why would we even think we're a target?
No, I'm saying, like, if someone thinks we're a target, they're coming to us, and we kill them.
Yeah, because we'd be hard to kill right now.
Yeah.
We wouldn't. We look weak. I'm saying we probably look like a target.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, we look weak because, you know, we only look it. Yeah. Yeah.
I think I'm strong and I could do some damage. And I what about we plan to act even weaker than we look?
I don't know if we'd need to be honest.
I'm just saying, in this moment of struggle, why not take advantage of it? Let's not let the hunters come to us. We'll kill them.
Yeah, let's fight while we're weak.
Yes. I tell you, everybody, let's
Cass had a great look of like a brief moment of we got through to her.
Yep.
For a brief moment, Cass was like, "Oh shit, yeah, that's right."
No, that wasn't that. It was like, "Oh, you guys don't understand my plan. Why are you so negative? I think we can take them." I think instead of bothering going hunting, let them come
to us.
We're not expending energy.
You sit down and you wait for something to come to you.
No, we don't need to sit do anything. Down, They'll open come mouth. To us anyway. I'm saying, just keep in mind to kill. I don't know yet. I just think instead of bothering being like, we can see everything the whole time because there's no trees. Yeah. Why bother hunting? If there is something out there, it'll try and kill us.
Hills and like other like big rock formations or those kind of things probably don't exist.
But we can see them. If someone comes out from behind them, we'll know and they can come to us. I'm not wasting energy running when I could be spending my energy trying to kill.
Ambush predators usually wait until you're pretty far ahead of them for them to burst out so you can see them.
Adam described this place as pretty open. I'm saying they're going to see us, think we're weak, think they're confident, try and kill. The ambush become the ambies.
While we have this, Big T maybe voices a thing where I'm like, we probably should look for some food, and Big T mentions all this. I'm like, I'm just going to turn into a goat and climb up and have a squiz. So yeah, I'll climb up and survey the land, as it were, to see where we are, what we're doing from a bit more of a high advantage
high vantage point.
That's the yep. one.
All right. You stagger your way up as a goat. How long were you walking in this direction before you choose to become a goat?
I would say that's like 4 hours.
4 hours? Oh, okay. You climb up as a goat. Look in the direction that you're going, and you can see that it does not look like it's going to become climbable anytime soon.
Yeah.
Walking for 4 hours, you probably can't see far enough in the other direction, back the way you came. You probably can't see far enough to tell if that way is any easier, though, I guess is the problem.
Okay. What's it look like up this side of the mountain?
As a lows.
Highs.
In the distance, you see a figure walking through the just the desolate landscape. You can see that there is a desiccated or dead tree in their way. As they approach it, they don't move to walk around it. They just walk into it. The tree falls over, and they keep walking.
Okay, that's the Iron Golem, yeah?
It looks like it could be.
Oh, all right. Okay, well then we'll go the other way. I mean, that's pretty easy. Yeah, okay. All right. Done. Climb down.
Cool.
All right.
Yes. Am I a bit, like, sturdier as a goat? As in I can kind of, like, carry somebody a bit further for, like, a couple, at least, like, an hour or whatever?
I don't think anyone's small enough for you to be carrying them as a goat. You are probably the smallest member of the party as a goat, to be honest.
Aww.
Yeah. Okay. Not by a lot, but you are.
Yes. Okay. Well, then I guess I remain a human.
Okay.
does Zabit have horns as a goat?
Yes. That's a bit rude, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, like, obviously
why,
I can't.
What is your plan? Why do you want? What do you want to do to me?
I would never suggest this, but.
But you currently are, yes, go on.
Well, you know, could you in theory lop off your horns and be like, Yaola, Sowie, here's some new horns?
They would disappear as soon as they were chopped off you.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Probably back to whatever part of his body became the horns, to
that
be honest.
That would be really funny to see. Imagine lopping off your horns and, like, your ring fingers were gone. Be like, why? Why those?
Yeah, that is hilarious.
No.
Again, look, Big T is not suggesting this. They do have a think.
Right. I come down the mountain. Turn back into a human. Right. So, couple of things. One, this direction that we're heading, it doesn't look like it goes up anytime soon. And two, probably the more pressing issue, that Iron Golem I did see, and it was heading that direction as well.
We shouldn't go this way.
I suggest we probably head back the way we came and try and head up that way. And perhaps maybe we come across Zamir at some point.
As you walk back the other way.
Can I?
Yeah,
yes.
No, go on.
I was going to say, is it, if I was to turn into, say, a war horse, could I then be better at sort of carrying some people and giving them more of a rest?
Yeah, sure. You can only do it for an hour, but you can, yeah.
2 hours.
2 hours?
Yeah.
Oh, I think it's a total of 2 hours. You've transformed once, and that was an hour's worth of, I think that's how it works.
Yeah. You can stay in beast shape for 2 hours before reverting back to normal. Yeah, I can do it twice a day.
Oh.
Well, twice per short rest.
Okay. Oh, never mind then. Right. Well, yeah, then you can be a horse for 2 hours.
Excellent. Well, I'll be a war horse for 2 hours as we go back, and I'll try and help out anyone I can, really. Probably Chantel and whoever else can fit on the back of me.
All right. You could probably carry maybe Chantel and Yeola, then Chantel and Seren until the horse shape wears off. And then a couple hours later, you come to the river. How are you going to cross the river? You want to go down a little bit so you're not right at where the waterfall is?
Yes.
Oh, hang on. Maybe I could carry my friends across. I found this ring. I can walk on water.
Oh, yes. The ring we... Oh, yeah. Just mind wandering back.
Come on.
24 hours.
I try. I don't let anyone think about that too much.
All right. You step into the water with the ring?
Yep.
All right. The second you touch water, you feel awful. Something bad's happening.
Oh.
You need to get into the water now before it finishes or something even worse is going to occur. You get into the water?
You okay there?
Yeah.
What's going on?
I feel sick.
You start staggering into the water. You feel your arms cut. You see as Tree Stump's arms stretch out above their head. Tree Stump, you're not even willingly doing that. Your arms are just kind of stretching up and above your head in straight lines. You slowly fall forwards. Out of your chest, you feel like an alien from Aliens is trying to burst out of your chest. As you fall down, you are terrified. Shock and horror emits out. You nearly try to scream, but you can't. Something is blocking your throat as two wheels explode out of your chest and catch your fall, if you will.
Wheels?
Yeah, wheels. You try to start kicking with your back legs, but they feel slow and sluggish and strange. You can't see, but everyone else can, as your legs turn into wheels as well, so that you have four of them. You see, as Tree Stump's body becomes to appear wooden, and Tree Stump's arms stretch out and form like two long poles going. Now the Tree Stump is kind of like bent over. Instead of going up outright, they go forwards, kind of like two sticks coming out at horizontal? No.
Yeah, horizontal.
Yeah, horizontal angle. Out of the two sticks, two horses emerge, growing out of the sticks and attached to them by like reins, bit and bridle. You feel, Tree Stump, you feel your back begin to arch inwards and you feel your lungs and stomach begin to collapse and be pushed aside. In Tree Stump's back, there is now a divot big enough for several people to climb into. Tree Stump is still kind of, in a way, unmistakably Tree Stump, but they are now also kind of a wagon.
I just want to, like, as I'm watching this, lean over to Chantel and be like, there has been... In the last 3 weeks, 2 weeks, far too much body horror that I've witnessed. And I know, as a man who was recently a fish, who was actually recently a spider, who just turned into a horse and back again, this is by far the worst thing I have seen.
The wagon treats the water as if it was a solid surface.
And now a quick word from our sponsors. Sure, I like listening to D&D's for Nerds, the podcast I am currently listening to, or not, and maybe you should check it out on Spotify or whatever, but I hate using my stupid ears when I could instead be using my fabulous eyes. Well, thank my lucky stars, those fucking maniacs went and wrote a book adapting their Atticus campaign, the one with the airship and unhinged gnome. Just head to sanspantsradio.com/shop and click on the merchandise button. It was limited run and stocks are getting thin. So why get talked at when you could use your own inner dialogue and read an adventure? Once again, that's sanspantsradio.com/shop and grab your copy of The Orticus today.
Hey, Adam.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, Cass.
How much of me is still in this wagon?
You are completely cognizant and conscious. All right, so imagine being aware of your own body in that situation, and then imagine also being aware of the two horses attached to you. They are you.
Okay.
You are those horses as well. You control them.
Can I speak?
Can they talk?
Talk through them.
Okay, one of the
Your mouth no longer works. It's part of the wagon.
One of the horses spins its head around and says, "Get in." And the other one turns around and says, "All aboard." The first one says, "If you think about it for too long, we might get killed."
Just resign myself to be like, okay. I'm like maybe the first one in.
Everyone climbs into the wagon.
Hopefully, yeah.
I
wonder how permanent. I'm curious. Is this the moment we hit permanent. the other side?
Oh my god!
What? Okay. Second horse turns around. Where do you want to go?
Well, we can't go up the waterfall. Can you?
I'll give it the go. The horses try and climb up, but like
it's kind
gingerly.
Of like a you unfortunately cannot just climb up the wall. The waterfall itself you would still treat as like a solid surface, so you can kind of go up it a little bit, but you can't really climb it.
So can you like it would be like can you climb? Like does it treat it like it's just you stuck to the water and it keeps going up? Kind of like when I was a spider and I could climb a tree? Or is it just...
I think gravity still works in the same way. This is horse number one. But yes, because the solid surface of the water is constantly moving, it's going to be tricky, and they don't have thumbs.
Ah, right.
Yeah, and then the second horse, or feet.
Yeah. I guess we just head to the other side.
We could go downriver if you want.
Well, we want to go back up, don't we? Yes. Remember, that's where Zemir is.
Okay.
Yes?
I make the horses give each other a kiss on the cheek. Does it feel nice?
It feels like kissing yourself on the hand.
Both of them turn around at the same time and say, "You gotta try this." Okay, we go across the river.
I really think we don't, Chantal.
I'm sorry, we go.
We've been through a lot.
You get to the...
Do Avengers get counselling? Out of curiosity.
Why would they need that? You get to the other side. Almost as soon as you start coming up onto the bank, you feel awful again, Tree Stump. The change happens in reverse. The horses get sucked back in. You slowly stand upright. Your arms come back down. Everything returns back to what it was.
Yeah, fantastic.
This might be the best ring I've ever found in my life.
At some point, maybe we'll strike up a conversation about like how when I transform, say, into a horse versus what that is. Is it a similar experience?
No, this is awful and horrible. Tree Stump says they enjoy it, but they really don't.
Tree Stump enjoys the part where they get to kiss themselves on the cheek and also get a kiss on the cheek from them and also is wondering what it would be like if they turned into the horse and slept in the water so that, one, they could rest their head on their own body twice.
It's kind of like comparing if a friend for you, Global, transforming for you is kind of like comparing a friend grabbing each of your arms and kind of like pulling a trusted friend. So you're like, all right, they're pulling on me, but I'm not feeling pain and I don't expect to feel pain. Whereas for Tree Stump, it kind of felt like getting a beat down. Like you're being initiated into a bikey club.
I'll tell you what, it's very bad a lot of the time, except after it's worked. Then it is joy. Yeah. I got eight legs. I never get eight legs. You had eight legs. I was a bit jealous of you.
Look, to be honest, of all the things that I was, having eight legs was actually pretty. It was nice. That was probably the only thing. Oh, and the wall. It was nice. That was about
you got
it.
Eight eyes. I got four eyes.
I get it. Look, that was confusing.
I got to look two of my friends. I adapted well.
Okay. Well, let's head this way. And see what we find.
All right.
All my enthusiasm has come back. I'm ready to live again. I don't care that I'm tired.
Knowing I got 98 or 2 highs or lows. It was
highs.
A 2. Switch to lows.
Why are you doing this?
He already. Okay.
Because he's lows. I'm going lows.
Almost immediately, you see a path, a worn path in the cliff face. Set of switchback, a switchback path that would allow you to wander back up.
Well, that was great. Shall we? Are you okay to go up, Chantel?
Chantel, still kind of using the not kind of still using the warhammer as a crutch, nods gingerly. I don't think I have a lot of choice here.
Yeah. Would it have been worth grabbing her leg? By the way, or is that not how D&D works?
I suppose it isn't really how D&D works, but I would say that maybe it would be easy. Look, I it's not a priority.
Okay. Just wondering, do we need the part of that body that we lost? Yeah. All right, off we go.
Look, it's just too much hassle to recover, to be honest, than what it might be worth recovering.
Okay, then we'll head up.
All right.
Can I carry her?
Yeah.
You can probably half carry her. Yeah, you could definitely help. But you are also still a bit infirm. Everyone here is, like I said, with the exception of Global, everyone is moving at half speed.
I'll help then, if that's like, you know, I'm the strongest one, like, or at least not the strongest one, but the more,
least exhausted.
I guess, not exausted.
Yeah.
I'll be helping Chantel up as much as I can. Human
on my horse.
Yeah.
Two horses.
Everyone gets to the top of the cliff.
And does this mean...
Is it still as barren?
It is quite barren up here, yes.
Okay. In my mind, we've now gone up the waterfall to the other side of the river. Does that mean I need to be horses again? Get us back, get back across?
Well, no. I mean, if you wanted to, you can splash around in the water when we have a rest. But right now, back the other way is basically where our camp was and where the golem was heading. This is where we basically lost Ziamir. So, look around. There's nowhere for anyone to sort of like chill in camp, is there?
This game, you it's find no evidence of a camp. Yeah.
I mean, like, as in, like, for us to rest.
Oh, I mean, like, you could kind of anywhere as good as anywhere else, to be honest.
Okay. I start heading maybe towards the rocks where we jumped over, or we were meant to be jumping over, but cooked it. And see, I guess, actually two things. One, if there's any kind of tracks that Ziamir left, and two, where the iron golem went after I jumped into the river.
Yeah, do we see any of the biggest footprints?
Well, near the river itself, the earth is a bit like damp and malleable. So you can see that there is indeed Ziamir's tracks head off like away. Is it perpendicular? No. Not parallel. Is it perpendicular? Yeah. Like kind of making a cross with the river, head away directly. If the river goes from west to east, Ziamir went straight north, if that makes sense.
Okay.
You find also the tracks of the iron golem. It looks like the iron golem went kind of in the same direction, walking along the cliff edge.
Okay.
But then the tracks become you can't really follow them very far.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll head a bit north for a bit until people are like, yeah. I guess vibe out the group. What do they want to do? Do they want to rest or do they want to keep soldiering on? Or is it all that still that same defeatedness, exhaustion?
Well, now that they're back here, it feels like some progress is being made. So some of the members of the party. There's a little bit more like liveliness to the party. Chantel is still pretty messed up, so they're not really engaging much still. But Saren seems to have gotten back a little bit of her energy. She looks around kind of with like an air of interest, but she's not saying anything. Well, she doesn't say anything unless you're asking.
Okay, I might ask something, like, you know, is there something you've noticed?
No, I just wonder, I guess.
Yes. About how this happened?
No, I wonder.
I left pauses wherever I felt necessary for her to interject, but if she didn't, I would have just, as I
have a disconcerting thought.
What's up?
Do you think there's only one?
Probably not, yeah.
I think it might not be worth thinking about how many there are and more about stopping how many there could be. Because that's exciting and the other one is very scary.
If the machine is currently working, we must assume that Ziamir is priority number one. We must stop the machine as soon as possible.
Yes.
Yes, correct. Let's try and track her then, if we can.
You start heading in the direction that she last went in. After a little ways, you see that there's like a kind of a scuffle marks in the barren ashen earth. You can't tell exactly, you have no idea what really happened here. And you can see that there are footsteps going in two different directions, but the footsteps are so kind of like old, like the tracks are so old at this point and have been worn away already at this point. It's actually impossible to tell. Like one of these could be the iron golem and you wouldn't even know. One set goes north, the other set goes west.
Mm-hmm. And we came from
we
the
came
east,
from,
yes?
You came from the south.
As in, like our camp.
Oh, your camp. Your camp would be to the west.
I would assume that would be where like we saw the iron golem heading towards, or where I saw it.
It was kind of hard to tell. You would guesstimate it went in a westerly direction, but that's like a big guess.
Well, that's what I'm sort of basing it off. I mean, it's like a guess either which way. So if this was, say, Ziamir and the golem here, there's no blood. Is there dried blood or anything like that?
You can't see anything like that. Anything like that. Mm. It's very, very like, well, not really that old, but there's not a lot of stuff of anything here. So you can't find a lot of blood, but that doesn't necessarily mean that anything happened.
Because
didn't happen, I should say.
Yes. Because I'm thinking, well, look, if it don't, sorry, I mean, if the Iron Golem had gotten the Emir, I was going to say I probably would have just left her here, but I'm guessing they need raw material to feed the machine, huh? I say we keep heading north.
I think that's a
so you're
going to
follow the tracks north?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. You come across the remains of a camp. There's a small little space where a fire obviously once burnt. You can see where someone would have been lying for some time without a sleeping bag. And that's it.
Cool. Is it the, like, you know, The I guess hard to say, but like the imprint on the earth, roughly around about Zemia's sort of.
It's human sized, whatever height. It is.
Human, yes. Okay. Well,
I mean, there's a lot of different kind of guys around.
Yeah, like that. That's something that's promising. Good.
We'll keep going.
Yeah, was there any sort of like other where the tracks keep leading?
Having a little search around, you. Unfortunately, Glubble, you can't find anything in here, any clue as to where this person might have gone. On the other hand, Tree Stump, you find there's like a rock that you pick up, and underneath the rock, you see a picture that someone has carved into the rock.
Yeah.
I'm so good at tracking. What's the picture?
And this is finally something you can read.
You could see in the rock, Tree Stump, there is a depiction of what you would tell immediately is the river. You have such a special bond with that river now after what happened earlier. You can tell that it is the river. You can see where the waterfall is. You can see where the camp is right now, where you are currently. Mm-hmm. And then you can see that there is an X ahead of you.
Guys, look. I'm gathering every other person.
It's a rudimentary map. Tree Stump is capable of reading it.
God, accessibility is so important.
Tree Stump, you can suddenly read. No, Tree Stump is capable of reading this map.
Except I have no idea what that marking to show where the spot is. Ugh. What could that be? Baffling.
It's quite clearly all of it a except destination. For this
little four arrows pointing at each other. I don't know. We should go there, though.
Some kind of religious symbol. I'm so unaware of what this might be. Hmm. All right, well, okay, but if you can read that, let's a gesture to Big D.
I'll lead the way, because I'm so good at tracking.
Tree Stump is incredible at tracking. Find out next time on Stories of the Grey Hill Free Company.
One of the members of the Jeltov Pass party is naked. They also all show signs of blunt force trauma. Then when the area was tested and autopsies was done, a high amount of radiation was discovered on all of the members of the party. With that evidence, what do you think happened to the Jeltov Pass party?
A Hulk.
My good friend Jackson Bailey loves Sasquatches, Bigfoots, Yetis, and all kinds of cryptids and mysteries that aren't just Gigantopithecuses, and loves to talk to his good friends about them on his show, Jackson Bailey Spooks America. But there are some rules.
As I eat some candy, let me explain the rules of Jackson Bailey Spooks America. So, you got to get your opinions, and you got to put them in a box, and you got to put that box. You remember in high school, like at the start of class, they were like, put your phones in this box?
Yep.
That's what you got to do with your opinions. Second thing. Accept everything, believe nothing. And thirdly, accept when you're beat.
Each episode, Jackson walks several of his good friends through a loosely researched or vaguely misremembered ghoul fable or spooky mystery, and we have to come up with our own theories on what really happened.
A graffiti message related to the mystery appeared on a wall, which read, "Who put Bella down the witch helm? Hagley Wood." Nobody knows who wrote this.
Ooh, that's spooky as shit.
Nobody knows where that came from.
I'm so spooked.
In Russia, as in every country in the world, there is a large bipedal ape that people talk about, a Sasquatch equivalent. In Russia, it's known as the Yeren.
No, it's like one of the classic monster movie things. They're having sex, and that's when the monster chooses to attack.
He smells their delicious sex odor.
He which, smells the losing fact, of virginity.
Fun fact for all those virgins at home, sex smells gross.
In 1817, he's in a cornfield hunting, and he spies a very strange creature.
Hunting what? Creatures?
Well, not this creature. Birds, probably. He spies a creature that he describes as looking like a dog with a rabbit's head.
Ah!
He shoots it several times, as he would.
Yeah.
Could it just be a big rabbit?
Big or a small dog?
It's a bizarre phenomenon that only typically appears in England, where people will have a skull that loves a yell.
They climb the tree, and they discover in the mint, in this sort of like a Y in the tree, what looks like a skull.
Other times, it's just a show mostly about terrible things done to horses.
Other than that, the boy, he doesn't speak. He only says these two phrases. I want to be a cavalryman as my father was. And horse, horse.
Yeah. Alternatively, a scientist really wanted to fuck a horse.
As, not even necessarily a scientist, just a guy.
Maybe. Is it potentially possible?
Yes.
Instead of seeing a strange creature that we have never heard of before,
yeah.
Potentially, is it within the realm of possibility that this man actually just saw one of those boys from Pinocchio turning into a donkey?
Spooky as hell.
Oh.
Who's ready to talk about horse death?
I don't know, man. I woke up this morning and I said I was, but now that I'm staring it right in the face.
When smaller carrion eaters and bugs and stuff are eating an animal that's recently died, what they go for is the fleshy bits. And that's just your junk, your tongues, and your eyes. Sorry, people. Those are the bits that go first.
I do enjoy this because this is much better than the usual cattle mutilation problems, which are delicious animal somehow dies for no reason. Eaten.
Who could have done it?
Who would possibly kill this thing we've bred to be delicious?
We live in an area populated by coyotes and also wolves, but who?
Why? Why would these things whose natural habitats of prey, we've taken this thing that we've bred to be stupid and delicious.
And so not delicious. Run and easy to catch.
This walking pie. Who would eat a cow? They say, hefting burgers to their mouths. Who would eat this?
I don't understand.
So if you want to get mystery blue-balled with us, have a listen to Jackson Bailey Spooks America. The first few episodes are available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from. Or alternatively, subscribe to SansPants Plus on SansPantsRadio.com or support us through the Bad IQ Boy Collection through Apple Podcasts to get immediate access to well over 100 episodes. Get spooked, America.
It is crazy that people think that you can shoot a ghost.